Welcome to TP Talks, PwC's Global Transfer Pricing podcast series. My name is Ben Brewer, and we are recording this podcast at PwC's Global Transfer Pricing Conference in Toronto. The topic for this podcast is Action 13 of the OECD Base Erosion and Profit Shifting BEPS Plan. I'm joined by Matthias Pedavia, the global leader of PwC's Global Coordinated Documentation, GCD, service offering, and a principal in the PwC Miami office, Ognjana Todorova, the Americas Cluster Champion for the GCD service offering and a managing director in the PwC New York office, and Michael Walter, the Central Cluster Champion for the GCD service offering and a partner in the PwC Madrid office.
Thanks, Ben, for inviting us to this very important session. Good morning, all. We are here in Toronto hosting our Global Transfer Pricing Conference. And specifically talking about Action 13, I think it's important to step back and discuss or look at the landscape, Michael and Ognjana. If we look back at our last year Transfer Pricing Conference back in October of 2015 in Shanghai, we've seen only a few countries endorsing or implementing Action 13, or at least showing a clear trend of implementing Action 13 related regulations. Like Spain, for example, was the first one introducing the final ones in July. But if we fast forwarding back to today, we have seen a number of countries introducing, or they have already introduced regulations related to Action 13 or draft regulations in place. However, and unfortunately, what we've seen is an inconsistent implementation of these regulations, unlike the expectation or unlike what the OECD was mentioning back in 2013 or 14 when these initiatives came out. So I will ask for you too, if you can just give me a few examples of nuances of these tweaks in the regulations. I think it's a good place to set the stage for the conversation today. So I know, Ognjana, sure. If you wanted to share with us that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matthias. So, you know, we all know that the OECD was talking about a three-tier approach. And what we're seeing, for example, in the West Cluster, or in the Americas, both North and South America, is that we're seeing certain countries only implementing country-by-country reporting, like the U.S., and not interested in master file or local file. In fact, the U.S. Has made statements that they would like to continue with the 6662 documentation requirements, contemporaneous documentation requirements, and they are not planning on making any changes to that. They're also not planning on requesting the master file. Canada has also spoken in a very similar vein, so both of those countries are aligned there. However, Mexico, for example, has the full Monty, has the master file, local file, and the country-by-country reporting requirement, as well as some of the local documentation, some of the local information return forms that were previously required are remaining, and some of them are being expanded. What we're seeing in South America has been quiet for now, but we're hearing noises and official noises that they're going to start implementing Action 13. Specifically, Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, and Chile have come out publicly saying that they're planning on implementing. So really, I think the landscape is about to change there as well.
Right, and from a European point of view, we also see a similar pattern, i.e. we see some countries that that have implemented all three tiers of the OECD's Action 13, such as, for example, Spain and the Netherlands. But we also have other countries, like, for example, UK and Italy, who have only implemented the CBCR requirement. So we see a lot of different nuances and not exactly what was in mind when Action 13 first came into play. And if we go a little bit further east and look into Asia, we also see a similar pattern where we see, for example, China has implemented the master file and local file, but also a special issues file. So that's another separate nuance there. And in Japan, for example, you have a quantitative threshold for the master file requirement to kick in. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, for example, Australia, the local file is going to be a form that needs to be filed with the tax authorities. So we see what you were saying, Matthias, that there are some concepts that are similar, but there are a lot of nuances throughout the world, really.
Yes. So let me emphasize one aspect that you both mentioned, which is these nuances, but reflected in additional forms. At the beginning, when this came out, even the first documents that the OECD was reflecting that this would eventually be replacing existing regulations and existing requirements. But what we've seen, and right now is basically confirmed, is that this is in addition to existing requirements, i.e. the local information returns that we were talking about are more than ever are even enforced and confirmed. And actually, they are adding more forms. Your example, Michael, in Australia, the local file is a form. ATO was announced that this is in addition to any documentation requirement that we have. And similar approach has been taken by the German government, and similar to Mexico as well. So I think that one of the messages here is, unfortunately, instead of alleviating the burden or simplifying the requirements, unfortunately, it ended up being quite the opposite. Some of us said that at the beginning. They were calling us as crazy. But at the end of the day, that has been confirmed, that we are talking about 4, 5, 6, 7, or even 10. I think in China, you have even 22 different forms that are adding more compliance and more burden to taxpayers. So, but if we move to the so-called three-tier approach, one of the documents or the requirements that has been out there and created a lot of anxiety in taxpayers is the country-by-country reporting itself, mm-hmm. right? And here, let me just share a few things or areas that we need to watch out today. The first one, and probably many of you already heard that, is the data extraction, how we get that data, how reliable is the data, and what are the resources that we have, either technology-wise or similar, how we get the information. What we've seen, and that was confirmed even by the US releasing the final document back in June in terms of the content, what type of information should be included in the different tables, table one, table two, and even table three of the country by country. And the third aspect, and you, Michael, has been working on this in a number of situations, is this analysis of the information, the consistency with the transfer pricing policies. That's something that has been taking a lot of attention and resources at the groups. But let me add one more thing that not all of us, meaning the community, is aware of, and is the notification that there are a number of countries that you need to notify before the year end, calendar year 2016, where are you planning on filing the country-by-country report? And this is something that companies need to be very mindful because, of course, by not filing this, that triggers penalties and some other ramifications that we need to be aware of. But
right, and that's a very good point, Matthias. So that is something very, very relevant to actually keep in mind, that before December 31st, 2016, that in many jurisdictions you will need to actually notify who is the entity within the multinational group that is actually going to file it, which also has ramifications in terms that the company needs to decide which is the best entity that can actually get the data, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I think from a US perspective, some of hopefully our US listeners are aware of this, but as you know, the US rules or the country by country regulations that the IRS issued and finalized in June, and that Matthias was referring to, are only valid for fiscal year 17 and forward. However, in order to alleviate the need for companies to comply with country-by-country requirements for fiscal year 2016 in a lot of other countries, the IRS has agreed to voluntarily accept country-by-country files with the contemporaneous documentation to be filed next year. So our recommendation is for U.S. multinationals to do so with their tax return for this current fiscal year.
And one aspect that I think it's important that we are facing today with many, many groups is that unfortunately 2016, not all of the countries introduce, particularly country by country regulations. So some of them, like Switzerland, that introduced it, but it's applicable in 2 years from now. Some others are expected to implement in 17. So 2016 is a transition year, and it's creating a lot of noise for companies that are based in jurisdictions that are not, they don't have country by country rules in place. So what comes more evident is one aspect that you mentioned, Michael, which is the secondary mechanism, where we should be filing. And not all the countries adopted the secondary mechanism the same way. For example, in the US, Ognana, do we have a secondary mechanism?
No, we do not, so yeah.
And what about in Europe, Mike?
Right, so in Europe, it is probably worthwhile to touch on the UK, where they do have a secondary mechanism. But when it kicks in, the data that you actually put into the CBCR report is not worldwide, but only what is below the UK. So there's another example on how things are being implemented in a different manner throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think another aspect that I know that in the business community there was a lot of concern about is the confidentiality and what country we trust to file, especially if I'm not in a country that has rules, which country I could trust, and all these activities of public CVCR, primarily in Europe, and state aid and other activities that we are seeing for tax authorities, that creating some fear for tax authorities for groups to file in certain jurisdictions where a year ago were likely filers. All these additional activities are creating some reservations that to file there. So your point, Michael, I think is key in terms of what are the things that we need to be looking at now is, in addition to the notification, of course, is where I should be filing, mm-hmm. that will comply with all my needs.
And I think one more point to add, Matthias, we did not talk so far, is the treaty network. I think that's also a very important consideration.
Correct.
When we are thinking about selecting a surrogate filer situation.
This concludes part one of the BEPS Action 13 podcast. Please be sure to listen to part two, which addresses master file and local file documentation, as well as the resources and coordination needed by companies in order to comply with these new requirements. If you have further questions, the contact info for Matthias, Ognana, and Michael is provided in the description of this podcast.